Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I'm glad to be here this morning, and you may see a nice bright smile on my face because Satan is not pleased by me being here this morning. He has tried some of everything to deter my presentation. And if you remember from the last time I was before you and I had to speak, and I spoke on the same study that we had that day during Sabbath school. Well, guess what? Things repeat themselves. So today, the Lord gave me the gospel, but he gave it to me. I've had it for like 3 years, and he told me already twice to do the gospel, and I've tried to deter from it because it's so broad. But three times, I guess, it's not biblical, but I don't want to be struck out. And so I'm going to go ahead and follow through. But if you walked in my shoes this week, the only thing I could say is praise the Lord. And it's left up to the Lord what you will receive through his Holy Spirit. And I hope each and every one of you will receive a blessing. And before I get into my presentation, let's pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, and I thank you. Father, when you woke me up this morning and the joy that I had with you in the wee hours of the morning, I thank you. I know you've already completed the path that I need to walk. I thank you for all the obstacles that you took me over or took me around. I thank you for your many blessings. And Father God of all things, I thank you especially for your Son that died so that we may have eternal life and also that we may come before your throne and call you Abba, Father. And in his name we pray. Amen. Since the gospel is a broad subject, I need to know what the gospel that God wanted me to focus on. I know that we are to preach the gospel throughout the world and that the end will come. And basically, we're at that point whereas that we see things happening in nature and the different things that are happening with our individual lives. The Son of the Law is on the brink. In fact, it's already in the United States and one of the states out west. They have passed the Son of the Law. And just because I'm bringing it up, I forgot the name of it, but it's out there. Does anyone know the state name? I can't remember it right now. It'll come to me when I'm finished. Nevertheless, looking at 3ABN and other related networks as Seventh-day Keepers, we are told to prepare our hearts and our minds for the time of trouble that will soon be set upon us. For the sake of time, I'm going to use an acronym, GOSPEL. And what we're going to do, this is how the Lord has impressed me to do this. In fact, even though I knew what I was going to say, I did not know how I was going to say it until last Sabbath at the women's retreat. He gave me the topic, and he told me what to do with it. And so what I'm going to do is use G-O-S-P-E-L, and I will use the word gospel as God's message. But what you will need to do, you're going to have a part in it also. Your part in the presentation, whenever I say the words, it's about him, you are to say what? Jesus. Thank you. Any questions about that? Because, you know, in order for it to come out well, you have to listen. And so when I will try to say it in a way that you will know that I am looking for a response, but also I will respond also. Any questions about that? How many feel as though that they could remember the words? Ann? Okay. If you notice in the brochure, your topic is it's about him, Jesus. So whenever I say it's about him, you're going to say Jesus. Got it now? Okay. I was thanking you for doing it in advance. The gospel, as I said before, is very broad, and we have a lot of letters start with the letter G, such as gospel, God, grace, and many other important words. But your eternity depends on your willingness to understand and believe the true gospel. Yet the Apostle Paul warned, as we studied this morning, the Christian of his day, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. That's 2 Corinthians 11:4. Too many have failed to obey God's commandment to prove all things in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Jesus Christ said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Mark 1:15. Have you believed the same gospel which Jesus preached? You need to be sure. It's about him. There are many, many gospels being preached in the world today. In his fabulous Olivet prophecy, Jesus Christ warned, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Matthew 24:4-5. Jesus said this about certain false religious teachers of his day. He said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15:8-9. Jesus is plainly saying that one can worship him to no purpose, uselessly, if the doctrines on which that worship is based have their source in men's erroneous ideas about how to interpret Scripture, rather than on the plain intended teaching of the Word of God. It's about him. What then is the actual gospel that Jesus preached? In Luke 13:25-28, Christ explained the plight of those holding false hopes. When once the masters of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up, open for us." Then in reply, he will say to you, "I do not know you. Where are you from?" And then you begin to say, "We ate and we drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets." But he will then say, "I tell you, I do not know you. where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. Does it really make a difference to God whether or not we adhere strictly to the exact same gospel that Christ and his disciples preached? On the authority of Jesus Christ, I say it makes a great deal of difference. After Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, he appeared to his apostles and commissioned them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16:15-16. Christ later inspired the apostle Paul to pronounce a double curse on anyone who would dare preach a different gospel. He told the Galatian Christians, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As you have said before, and now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Galatians 1:8-9. That made me stop and hesitate and think, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this according to your word. And sometimes I want to make sure that I read certain scriptures to make sure that I do not put me in there instead of what God says. For in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's God's grace to us. Thus I've summed up the G with the grace of God. The letter O is for omnipotent, omnipresent, omnificent. Revelation 19:6 states, And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." In Mark 1:14-15, let's read what God inspired Mark to write. Mark 1:14-15. "Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" This is the gospel. It's about him. There's only one, and is about the kingdom of God. Some will attempt to deny the prominence of the kingdom of God in the gospel by pointing out that Mark 1:1 mentions the gospel of Jesus Christ. It also referred to as the gospel of God because it was a message from God, but the New Testament overwhelmingly calls it the gospel of the kingdom of God. That is what the gospel is about, the theology of Jesus. It's about him. Do not blindly believe any commentary or Bible study. Believe your Bible. Believe God. People have gone off track spiritually by relying solely on men. Scriptures, commandments, you to prove all things in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Check up on this and examine it for yourself. It will soon be clear in your mind that the gospel of Christ is his message from the Father about the kingdom of God. Jesus affirms this after teaching in the city of Capernaum, saying, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. Because of this purpose, I have been sent. In Luke 4:43. And Matthew 9:35 testifies that this is exactly what he did. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, teaching the gospel on the kingdom. According to Jesus, what should life's primary focus be? Seek thee first the kingdom of his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. And what has come to be known as the Lord's Prayer, Jesus also said, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Verses 9 through 10. The gospel that Christ brought is indeed the good news of this coming kingdom. That is the message Jesus preached. He sent his disciples out preaching that very same message, and they did preach it the rest of their lives because it's about him. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all-present, all-knowing, and all-powerful God. S is for the sanctuary, the Son, his Spirit, and the Sabbath. I will talk more about the Sabbath on the last letter, but the sanctuary was taught from generation to generation, from Adam to Abraham, by customs and traditions, or word of mouth, as one may say it. Cain killed his brother Abel because God accepted Abel's spotless lamb offering and did not accept his offering. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and then he gave him instructions to build a sanctuary so that he may dwell with man. Exodus 25:40 is where God instructs Moses of the building of the sanctuary. And this sanctuary during the day was surrounded by cloud during the day, and by night fire was over it throughout their journey. As we all know, the sanctuary pointed to the cross. I remember when I first saw the cross in the sanctuary. When you look at the layout of all the parts of the furniture in the sanctuary, you'll be able to see that cross that he was crucified on. It was awesome because it's about him. The understanding of the sanctuary is our contribution to religious reformation as far as Seventh-day Adventists. This is where we are able to lead out and help people to understand more, because the sanctuary is a very deep subject in itself. And one of the things I was thinking about, with all the different letters of the gospel, you can easily develop sermons for Revelation or a series of sermons basically on the different letters. P is for prophecy, for praise, prayer, and prophets. Jesus was a prophet. At the end of the Old Testament, God inspired the following prophecy: Behold, I send my messenger, and he will inspire the following prophecy. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, Malachi 3:1. According to Mark chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, the first messenger mentioned here refers to John the Baptist, who prepared the way before Christ's first coming. Christ is referred to the next as the Lord, even the messenger of the covenant. So Jesus Christ was sent as a messenger. A messenger bears a message from someone else, and so Jesus did as he made plain by stating, The word which you heard is not mine, but the Father who sent me, John 14:24. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have come to be known as the four Gospels because they related four separate accounts of Christ delivering his announcement of good news. Not only was he a prophet, but the source of the prophecy, because it's about him. God the Father sent Christ to announce a message from him. What kind of message was it? The word gospel originates from the old word God spell, meaning good news or announcement of glad tidings. The English word evangelism, preaching the gospel, is derived from it. The main prophecy I want to talk about today is the three angels' message. When I went to LIFE, Lay Institute for Evangelism, we were admonished to preach the three angels' message. Which will take care of the letters E and L. When I first started my study, the gospel of the kingdom and the everlasting gospel was different. But God brought the full picture to head with Daniel's prophecy of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Here we see the statue and the rock coming through the air to hit the statue in the foot. And this is basically where we are now, pending the annihilation of the destruction of earth. But we still have a time to come. Prophecy brings us to the book that has the most prophecy in it, Revelation. It has prophecy of the past, present, and the future events. When all the things mentioned in chapter 13 takes place, when Catholicism and Protestantism are uniting to bring forth the mark, the name, and the number for the last great persecution, God's remnant are given the last day message called to a deceived world. The first vital truth of the first angel message is the everlasting gospel brought forth. The gospel had been perverted for 1260 long years. The errors and the truth needed to be brought forth so the true in heart can make an intelligent decision as they prepare to meet Jesus at his second coming. Turn to Revelation 14, chapter 14, verses 6 through 13. Revelations chapter 14, 6 through 13. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, for every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." And another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worship the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whose ever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus. And then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their works follow them. That's the prophecy. Now let's look at the letter, Eternal Word, and Everlasting Gospel. The Eternal Word in John 1:1-5 states, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, because it about him. How has the everlasting gospel been contaminated? Simply through things such as purgatory, a place of suffering invented by the papacy, indulgences, buying grace and mercy, or paying your way to heaven, praying to the dead saints, not to Jesus. That's very unbiblical. Soul immortal. In 1 Corinthians 15:53, if you are mortal, you are not immortal. This mortal must put on immortality, it says. To put it on means you don't naturally have it. Only saints receive immortality at the coming of Jesus. Therefore, if the wicked do not have immortality, how can they suffer throughout eternity? And the false Sabbath, going from the seventh day Sabbath to the first day Sabbath of Sunday. False baptism, where we have a little sprinkling instead of immersion. False communion service, where we have the great mass where many things happen. We have the acceptance of evolution. They don't believe that it was spoken and done. And the changing of the law. Three commandments were changed. In Revelation 14:10, perversions reveal how everlasting gospel had been contaminated and needs to be brought back to its purity. Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people need to hear the pure gospel. Therefore, the last message has to be a worldwide propagation to prepare God's people to come out of Babylon, Christianity, into pure light of the gospel. To summarize it, basically in verse 7, you hear saying with a loud voice, it's very spirit-filled, and one of the things the prophecy says is that as we preach through these messages, we should be spirit-filled. And as we give them out, the Holy Spirit should have complete control. Worship the Creator in his Sabbath, that spirit-filled message. Still in verse 7, fear God, reverence, and awe, absolute loyalty, a return from the diversion to the purity of true worship. We talked about worship in our last quarterly. Now we are studying the gospel. God has a divine plan to prepare us, his people, for eternity. Verse 7, the hour of his judgment is come. Here we're looking at, better translated, the time has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea. This is a direct quote from the fourth commandment. This reestablished the memorial of the creation, the Sabbath. This refute evolution, and it also points, bring back to the purity of the everlasting gospel. The second angel's message in verse 8 talks about Babylon is fallen. Who is Babylon? Webster Dictionary says it's an ancient city devoted to materialism and the pursuit of sensual pleasures. Does this describe Christianity today that has stalemated and is not advancing even here in America? Satisfied with their lifestyle and their status quo, steeped in sexual pleasures, some of the large denominations are losing millions of members a year. She, the apostate church, made all nations drink. Protestantism has accepted a perverted, unbiblical gospel. Babylon is said to be the mother of harlots. By her daughters must be symbolized churches that cling to her doctrines and traditions and follow her example of sacrificing the truth and the approval of God in order to form an unlawful alliance with the world. The message of Revelation 14 announcing the fall of the Babylon must apply to religion or religious bodies that were once pure and have become corrupt. Since this message follows the warning of the judgment, it must be given in the last days. Therefore, it cannot refer to the Roman Catholic alone, for that church has been in a fallen condition for many centuries. Furthermore, in the 18th chapter of the Revelation, the people of God are called upon to come out of Babylon. According to this scripture, many of God's people must still be in Babylon. And in what religious bodies are the greater part of the followers of Christ now to be found? Without doubt, in the various churches professing the Protestant faith. And this is taken from Great Controversies, pages 382 and 383. The third angel's message, Revelation 14, 9 through 12. Here again, spirit-filled, this last message before God comes, it has to be spirit-filled. If any man, a worldwide appeal, especially to the Babylon Christians, must have an intelligent knowledge to make such a final decision. And this is why our evangelistic meetings and everything are so important, so that people can learn about the beast, the image, and the mark. Whoever has the mark is destined for the wrath of God. How can you tell what the mark is? In verse 12, how to identify the saints shows the contrast with the mark and bring us to our final letter, the law. God's law that he wrote with his own hands, the Ten Commandments. The saints keep the commandments, all of them. The Sabbath has been trampled upon ever since Sabbath keeping was changed by the people from the seventh day, from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week in observing Christ's resurrection. They have faith of Jesus, not in, but the faith of Jesus. At this juncture, there is a Sunday law starts with the second angel's message. Those who do not keep the Sabbath are not the saints and will have the mark. By the contrast, God is revealing you who has the mark. Note that what has been done to the commandments. God says they have no other God before him, but the Pope calls himself a God. No graven images. And basically, they not only have images, but they bow down to them. And we're told not to do that. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Constantly throughout the week, I have to tell my students not to use the different superlatives that they use in calling on God's name. And so basically, they say you don't do that in this courage class. Remember the Sabbath. They took the rest of it out. That's all it says, remember the Sabbath. The longest commandment was changed to the shortest. And then they divided the 10th commandment to make 10 because the second one had to be removed. In verse 13, blessed are the dead which die henceforth. In Daniel 12, 1 and 2, blessed with the resurrection, for the dead in Christ will rise first to be with the Lord at the first trump. And verse 14 through 20 describes Christ's second coming. Finally, the last L, love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on that old rugged cross, a cruel, demeaning death, so that we may be benefactors of eternal life with him in his kingdom that will last forever. If you would like to be in that number as of the sands of the sea that cannot be numbered, and that you would like to walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom in glory, would you please stand? For this cause, also we thank God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which we read of his prophets, we received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in us that believe. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.